Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. This is an educational grassroots program focused on uniting and leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again.
And welcome back. We are going to go through, as I kind of impromptu announced in the last episode on Friday, we are going to go into the Declaration of Independence, the original draft. I usually do that on the 4th of July when we're actually broadcasting live. And so because we didn't have the opportunity on Sunday, what we want to do is make sure we actually cover this. And I'm not sure about you, but anybody that is aware of the lack of liberties and the increase in the loss of liberties exponentially, the exponential loss of liberties that we're experiencing is absolutely unacceptable. And so most people don't even know and don't even realize the real tone of the Declaration of Independence. It seems strong, but it was a lot stronger. And this is what happens when we succumb to political correctness and compromise our moral high ground. Now, even though we compromised our moral high ground, we were still on a much more higher moral high ground. And I'll even say this, I believe the Lord, and I believe the divine hand of providence, our creator, actually saw He knew our potential. He knew what he was doing. And he inspired these men to do these things. And I believe sometimes these men were overcome by, you know, the darker side, Satan, soothsayers, or what have you, and felt the necessity in trying to tone down the Declaration and some of the things we've said, because we can see that they've made political compromises because they didn't want to, you know, hurt somebody's feelings. You know, let me just do the obligatories, then I'll kind of get leading into, because I don't want to separate these comments and these thoughts, because I think these are important. So anyway, this show is also sponsored by RepublicReview.org, and you are listening to the only show that goes through these facts, these academic evidence, the academic evidence that provides the academic evidence-based solutions. Because when you start really looking at the evidence, the solution becomes very, very clear. We're living in and under a compact that was written for them by the states. The states have all the authority over this Constitution. The states have the authority and power to force the federal government and our public servants at the federal level into full compliance. They're not our kings. They are strictly representatives. Even the president is the representative of the people. By choosing our electors choose who will represent us in that position. And so we have a comment line, 425-270-5416. I have an old, I don't want to say lifelong, but all the way back to, you know, practically grade school time frame. I have an old friend who, you know, when you grow up, you think that your friends and you are really like-minded and so forth, and you do have a lot of commonalities because you've developed that friendship. But you realize over time that in some ideological spaces, you actually divide. And that's exactly what's happened with a lot of my friends, because we were all graduating in the 70s, believe it or not, we were all indoctrinated into collectivism. It was very, very clear that that was how we were taught to lead to a solution, to surrender to government the, you know, whatever's necessary for our security. And those things we surrendered were liberty. And so most people, it wasn't that way. What G. Edward Griffin pointed out when he graduated, what was that, in the 40s? He graduated in the 40s, and he said he was attuned to the fact that he was being taught collectivism as well through the education system. And so what we're looking at is this indoctrination process that gets us to really believe that government has to be the solution for everything. when that's absolutely wrong, especially the federal government. And here's the funny thing. In the 70s, this was at the end of the counterculture war where, you know, true love, you know, prevailed, you know, love over war, peace, and those types of things. And those folks, the boss, Crosby, Stills, Nash, and Young, these rebels of liberty and freedom have actually become the shills for subjugation. They've been the shills for surrendering our liberties to government. I mean, the boss is a huge fan of communism. Look at his relationship with Obama and all these other communists. And I'm going, you know, do they think we're stupid? Do they think we've forgotten, or have too many people forgotten to connect the dots when we start looking at these things? They stood up, supposedly, to say that the system was bad, but actually what they were saying was a particular system was bad. A system of freedom and liberty was bad, even though the songs pointed to, and everything was always about in the 60s and 70s, always about liberty. The reality is that they were driving us towards communism, towards communal living, and supposedly they were doing that at the local level, and now we're doing it at a higher level in surrendering to government, in this globalist government. Are you kidding me? That's not what the ideals that most of us bought into in the 60s and 70s. We were hoodwinked and we were deceived. And it's that simple, folks. So, Harry, I hope you're listening. I hope you continue to listen, because as we go through the evidence from the ratification debates and as we head into the resolutions, because that's what we're going to be heading into next, as we head into these resolutions, you're going to see the solution is that simple. It is Republic Review. Republic Review is precisely what James Madison and Thomas Jefferson were intending. It was exactly the efforts and actions that they were seeking in getting the states to take ownership over that Constitution. So I just hope trying to put things in perspective before we move forward. I want you to also understand, so some of the things that are going to be coming up in our next episode, we have a listener. I told him I would actually play it when we finally got out of content. And since last week was all content and today's content, tomorrow is going to be marketing. And what we're going to do tomorrow is we're going to play his comments. I'm going to dive kind of into the, you know, student debt and kind of reach back into what we talked about with the Assumption Act so that people can start looking at the fact that, you know, things aren't anything like what they used to be. You know, back in the days of the framers, there were framers who actually were thrown into debtor prison. And we have to start looking at the fact that we need to start doing that again. We can't allow people to go unchecked and just be entitled to, you know, break contracts and those types of things. Anyway, we'll kind of dive into that. But let's not forget and take a second right now and understand who our enemy is. Our enemy is the antithetical ideology and the antithetical position of our Creator. It is those who are seeking, and He who is leading the charge against liberty. And it is a tangible enemy. I want you to understand, we are actually fighting a tangible enemy. And that tangible enemy is Satan. And Satan, as we look at the Bible, as we look at all these predictions, don't be surprised when all of a sudden, you know, it comes clear who the Antichrist is. We have to understand that the global progressives are pushing us, and we don't have to go. We have something that protects us from that. It's called the Compact. We've been violating the Compact, and they've been making treaties that they have no enumerated power over. If the power is not enumerated within the Constitution, they have no power to make those treaties. In other words, they have no power to make a treaty or go into an agreement of selling debt and a country buying debt, basically trying to buy or own us through debt on anything that is not enumerated within the Constitution. In other words, if they're spending money on things that they have no business spending money on, and they say we need to go into debt for that, then that is defrauding the American people. Yes, I want everybody to understand this, that that debt clock, those liabilities, those are all unconstitutional. The only one that we really owe it to ourselves to fix and to honor is the Social Security. We have to get everybody who is, you know, who is owed their Social Security because of this big deceit and this big lie. We have to end the program and make sure that nobody is harmed. And we can do this, especially when we stop spending the money on the things that we have no business spending money on and moving these things back to the states and freeing the states and their economy, their economic systems, to doing everything that they can do to lift themselves up. We will find that America will lurch past all of the world. When we start mining our minerals, when we start doing our own manufacturing, when we start going back to these things, we will realize that we have been subsidizing communism throughout the world at a great expense to ourselves. A great expense to ourselves. You have to understand that when we actually start making these trade deals and we start actually paying more money for our food because we are subjugating ourselves to South America and to other parts of the world so that we can buy their crappy food instead of growing it here and taking care of ourselves, well, we have succumbed to what I'll call is an evil treaty. And we have no business doing those types of things when we have all the power to be able to do things much cheaper and much better for ourselves here. We're going into a break. We'll be right back with the Declaration of Independence. Thank you so much.
Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our Republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and republic review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to ReclaimingTheRepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much.
If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the republic review model on ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
Friends, if you have any questions or comments, we have our 24-hour comment line at 425-270-5416.
Okay, so one of the things I want to share, and I'm sure everybody kind of does the same thing, you know, when they hear somebody say Happy 4th of July, most patriots really kind of understand that we're not celebrating the 4th of July. We're celebrating our independence from a tyrannical state of government. And when you put it into that perspective, you have to start recognizing that we have allowed our government to be even far worse than the government that we claimed independence against. And in so doing, when you read the Declaration of Independence, it puts that into context. This is why I truly believe we need to read our scriptures, which means that, you know, you need to read the Bible on a regular basis. You need to read, you know, those prophecies of the prophets. We need to understand how the good Lord has guided us with his providence and our Creator, the blessings, so that we can recognize those things and give thanks. But equally important to that are our founding documents. I tell people that is our scripture for governance. When I refer to the Constitution as scripture, when I refer to the Declaration of Independence as scripture, I want you to understand that these truly are inspired documents, inspired by our Creator, the divine hand of providence. And in so stating this, we have to understand what these words really mean. Now, when I say that this is scripture, this is not scripture for the salvation of mankind like, you know, our holy scriptures are. These documents are scriptures for our governance of mankind. The Lord gave us what we needed so that we could live a free life, so that every person who lives in this land of liberty, and you've heard me say this before, the Lord didn't intend the land of liberty to just exist between the Pacific and Atlantic Oceans of the latitudes of North America and a few other spots that we claimed as states like Hawaii and Alaska. I am here to tell you that the Lord wants everybody on this earth to have liberty to choose for themselves to follow him or not. Look at how many people live under the hand of Islam. Islam is a dominant, you know, religion throughout the world. How many people have liberty to be able to learn about our Creator, learn about Christ, and learn about the laws, and being able to actually become a Christian, to become baptized, to become a saint, and to follow him in living the commandments? In many of these lands, you do not have that liberty, especially the lands of Islam. They actually persecute and kill people that convert, or people who proselyte, you know, religion. Look at Saudi Arabia. When we went in there during the Gulf Wars, we weren't allowed to take the Bible into Saudi Arabia. They had these strict rules. They were not a liberal society or a land of liberty. And there's no doubt that the Lord wants everybody. Our Creator wants everybody that's walking on this earth to be able to freely choose for themselves. That's why it's inseparable. The salvation of mankind is dependent upon our liberty, because we have to choose. We can't be forced. There's no such thing as forcing somebody into salvation. There is no such thing as forcing somebody into becoming compassionate. These things are abominable in the eyes of God. We cannot be forcing, and should not be forcing anyone into, you know, worshiping, being baptized. I mean, that flies in the face of the doctrines of Christ. We constantly have to be choosing for ourselves where we stand and what we are doing. And so we have to be accountable for that. But anyway, what do you do on the 4th of July? When somebody says, hey, you know, as we build up to the 4th of July, that's just a day. You know, why don't we celebrate the 4th of August? It's just a day. When we really look at the historical context, most people would say we should be probably celebrating the 2nd of July. It doesn't matter what you choose. When you choose to recognize Christ, whatever day that is, that's good enough for me. It's the same thing as like when we talk about Christmas and arbitrarily picking the 25th of December and celebrating the birth of Christ. You know, that was actually caused, and we were manipulated. That's why we get into every Christmas. I get into the first major American manipulation that's occurred, and it was Christmas. Anyway, I'm sure many people who look at America today miss what truly drove the evolution of enlightenment in America and what gave us this nation that was inspired by the divine hand of providence into our framers who created this Constitution. And I believe many of us do not understand the, you know, how this is actually the greatest name. And I think a lot of people feel, and patriots feel it in their heart, but I don't think they really understand, you know, that this is not just the greatest nation on earth, but this is it. This is the last bastion, and this is the, I'll just say, the last party before the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And what I mean by that is we have, and we are living in the land of liberty, and we have a sacred obligation in guarding it. And those of us who are not guarding it are not understanding what it takes to do that. Now, I'm going to tell you, many people do understand. Many people, and you see this. I saw it on Facebook yesterday, and I've been seeing, you know, building up to the 4th of July or Independence Day. I've been seeing many people recognize that this nation was built on prayer. This nation was built on revelation and inspiration from our Creator. Absolutely. But most people do not understand and are actually missing the most important factor in what built this nation. Surely, if people understand, again, that it was done by the divine hand of providence, but many framers pointed to, and many today point to the same things, but not too many of them are understanding the most important part of what built this nation. If you're going to tell me that we have to become a nation of prayer, you're missing the biggest point. The only thing that really made this nation what it was the service of those and the willingness of those when they got up off their knees to serve liberty and serve Him in, you know, creating this land of the free. By going through the Revolutionary War, we sanctified this through that service and through that sacrifice. Don't tell me, don't be the hypocrite and tell me that, oh, it's all about, you know, we have to turn our hearts towards God. No, that's a first step. Yeah. But we equally, with the same breath, with the same body, we have to take a stand and we have to start serving. How do you serve? Doing what I'm doing, getting the message out, getting people to understand what they have to do and acting upon it. If you're not acting, if you're just sitting there still thinking and, you know, you're agreeing, and what are you doing to being a part of the solution, then you're a part of the problem. You have to start serving. You have to start actually becoming an active participant in pushing the ball down the road. You got to get out onto the field, folks. You got to start playing in the game. And without people doing that, and people think that, well, I'm in the party, I'm doing that. No, you're not. Absolutely, you're not. You have to understand, you have to start understanding how the party's a part of the problem and challenging the party and actually waking people up to abandon the two-party system, or the uniparty, actually. But what we want to do, and what I need to do at this point, because I'm going to be going into a break, let me just start off with the, you know, the first paragraph here. Now, this was done as a declaration by the representatives of each of the colonies in what they were calling the Little United, with little U, United States of America. And this was done in a general Congress assembly. And a lot of people have played with the capitalizations and so forth and argue. And so those nuances aren't that important. Let's look at the spirit and the tone instead of the technicalities and the semantics, those types of things. Let's not argue over those stupid things. Let's start all agreeing on the most important things. When in the course of human events, it becomes necessary, when it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another, to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitle them. A decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation. So there's the announcement. I hope you start understanding, folks, that, you know, when Thomas Jefferson wrote this, he wasn't the king, which is why these words were changed. But I truly believe, and I know Thomas Jefferson was a man of God. And I know that he was actually inspired to write it this way. And when it came down to a quorum of men who were seeking, you know, this politically correct so that they would feel better. And the reason I'm saying this is, as I read this, I want you to start thinking, why did they change these words to soft pedal, you know, the abomination of slavery? Because right here in this next paragraph, in the very next paragraph we're going to read, we're drawing the line that all men were created equal. And I'll get into that when we come right back, because this was really the huge argument that John Locke was making that resonated so well with Thomas Jefferson. We'll be right back after these two promos.
If you run a business or an organization, you already know email is an essential tool for communicating. If you're interested in reducing your overhead and increasing your productivity, I personally recommend you look into AdLocal email marketing services. AdLocal has a special offer for my listeners with email services that start at $10 a month for your first 1,000 addresses. If you want to increase customer retention, grow your market presence, track your statistics, and improve your engagement with your customers with modern, elegant emails that express the personality of your business with emails that integrate with your website, you need to contact AdLocal, and they handle the rest. Take it from me. AdLocal offers the best solutions for all organization sizes, and they lead with their pricing and the 24-hour customer service. Folks, it's time to call AdLocal at 866-88-ADD-LOCAL or visit them on the web at www.addlocal.com. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station. Don't forget, you can call our 24-hour comment line to ask a question or to speak on any topic. Dial 425-270-5416.
Okay, so the backstory on this next sentence goes all the way back to 1770, when Thomas Jefferson was arguing and trying to free a mulatto who was born under slavery, and by law, halfway through their life, they were to be freed. And he was arguing in a court that this man was to be free. And so in that argument, he made and uttered these words for the first time. Whether the earth shook when those words were heard by others, I don't know, but I do know it was the beginning, and it was the seed that was planted to put Thomas Jefferson and prepare him for being in that Continental Congress and actually becoming the author of the Declaration of Independence. And so many people just don't understand, you know, the magnitude of some of these words. And in the arguments that I have to deal with people over the 14th Amendment and how they look at the 14th Amendment as an abomination to the Constitution, I think those people are doing the devil's work. They're the devil's advocates, because looking at any time when a state is behaving badly and oppressing people, whether it is a foreign state or a state within this union, we cannot turn our backs to, because of this principle and because of this document, the Declaration of Independence. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with inherent and inalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. There it was. We drew the line, slavery must end. That to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, and we were well on our way of instituting such a government, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed, that whenever any form of government becomes destructive to these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or abolish it. Got to emphasize that. We have a right and a responsibility to alter or abolish it, which is why the Constitution was created under the power and under this inalienable right declared in this document. To institute a new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its power in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. Prudence indeed will dictate that governments long established should not be changed for light or transient causes. And the framers have warned us about doing that. You know, that was why when they were looking at the Constitutional Convention, you know, they didn't take this as a lightweight, but they understood that the walls were permanent under the Articles of Confederation, and that wall had to be torn down, and a new government had to be built. And accordingly, all experience hath shown that mankind are more disposed to suffer while evils are sufferable than to right themselves by abolishing the forms to which they are accustomed. But when a long train of abuses and usurpations begun at a distinguished period and pursuing an invariably the same object evinces a design to reduce them under absolute despotism, it is their right, it is their duty to throw off such government and to provide new guards for their future security. Such has been the patient sufferance of these colonies, and such is now the necessity which constrains them to expunge their former systems of government. The history of the present King of Great Britain is a history of unremitting injuries and usurpations, unremitting, repeated injuries and usurpations, among which appears no solidarity fact to contradict the uniform tenor of the rest, but all have in direct object the establishment of an absolute tyranny over these states. To prove this, let facts be submitted to a candid world, for the truth of which we pledge a faith yet unsullied by falsehood. And now they go through the grievances. He has refused his assent to laws the most wholesome and necessary for public good. He has forbidden his government, his governors, to pass laws of immediate and pressing importance unless suspended in their operation till his assent should be obtained. And when so suspended, he utterly neglected to attend them. He has, this is all towards the king, he has refused to pass other laws for the accommodation of large districts of people unless these people would relinquish the right of representation in the legislature, a right esteemable to them and formidable to tyrants only. He has called together legislative bodies at places unusual, uncomfortable, and distant from the depository of their public records for the sole purpose of fatiguing them into compliance with his measures. He's dissolved representatives' houses repeatedly and continually for opposing with manly firmness his envisions on the rights of people. he has refused for a long time such dissolutions to cause others to be elected, whereby the legislative powers, incapable of annihilation, have returned to the people at large for their exercise, the state remaining in their meantime exposed to all the dangers of invasion from without, convulsions within. He has endeavored to prevent the population of these states, for that purpose obstructing the laws for naturalization of foreigners, refusing to pass others to encourage their migrations hither, and raising the conditions of new appropriations of lands. He has suffered the administration of justice totally to cease in some of these states, refusing his assent to laws for establishing judiciary powers. He has made our judges dependent on his will alone for the tenor of their offices and the amount of payment of their salaries. He has erected a multitude of new offices by a self-assumed power and sent hither swarms of new officers to harass our people and eat out their substance. He has kept among us, in times of peace, standing armies and ships of war without the consent of our legislatures. He has affected to render the military independent of and superior to the civil power. He has combined with others to subject us to a jurisdiction foreign to our constitutions and unacknowledged by our laws, giving his assent to their acts of pretended legislation, for quartering large bodies of armed troops among us, for protecting them by a mock trial from punishment for any murders which they should commit to on the inhabitants of these states, for cutting off our trade with all parts of the world, for imposing taxes on us without our consent, for depriving us of the benefits of trial by jury, for transporting us beyond seas to be tried for pretended offenses, for abolishing the free system of English laws in a neighboring province, establishing therein an arbitrary government, and enlarging its boundaries so as to render it at once an example and fit instrument for introducing the same absolute rule into these states, for taking away our characters, abolishing our most valuable laws, and altering fundamentally the forms of our governments, for suspending our own legislatures and declaring themselves invested with power to legislate for us in all cases whatsoever. He has abdicated government here, withdrawing his governors and declaring us out of his allegiance and protection. He has plundered our seas, ravaged our coasts, burnt our towns, and destroyed the lives of our people. He is at this time transporting large armies of foreign mercenaries to complete the works of death, desolation, and tyranny already begun with circumstances of cruelty and perfidy. Now, I'm not reading the actual politically correct words that were inserted and identifying that. I did that last year. I'm not doing that this year. So you need to read this so you can kind of highlight what those differences are, because I don't want to spend that time on this. What I do want to do is give you these clear salient points, but I will point out the big paragraph coming up. Unworthy the head of a civilized nation. He is constrained, just finish reading that. He is at this time transporting large armies of foreign mercenaries to complete the works of death, desolation, and tyranny already begun with circumstances of cruelty and perfidy, unworthy the head of a civilized nation. In other words, they basically said he's unfit to be king. He has constrained our fellow citizens, then taken captive on the high seas to bear arms against their country, to become the executioners of their friends and brethren, or to fall themselves by their hands. He has endeavored to bring on the inhabitants of our frontiers the merciless Indian savages, whose known rule of warfare is an undistinguished destruction of all ages, sexes, and conditions of existence. This is it right here. This whole part was taken out. He has incited treasonable insurrections of our fellow citizens with the allurements of forfeiture and confiscation of our property. He has waged cruel war against human nature itself. We'll pick it up from he has waged cruel war. But this was truly the hard slap across the king's face, and it was an indictment on anybody in America who wanted to maintain the institution of slavery. Not only was that first second paragraph that we were all created equal, but this paragraph too just dovetails with that. We'll be right back.
To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires two-thirds of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. Folks, as you know, online fraud is on the rise, and it's more important than ever for your new and existing customers to be able to determine whether they are using a website with a secured connection. If you didn't know, Google mandated in 2017 that all data submitted to its linked websites must be secure with SSL certificates. Without SSL certificates, your site is listed by Google as not secure. In other words, without these certificates, your site will be harder to find, and this will impact new traffic and ultimately your revenue. Whether you're a blogger or in e-commerce, AdLocal will help protect your website from all forms of data breaches, phishing scams, and build a secure environment for your businesses, big or small. Contact AdLocal by calling 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com for custom pricing. As a reminder, if you have any questions or comments, we have a 24-hour comment line, 425-270-5416.
Okay, so this next whole paragraph, and actually over 50% of what I'm going to read for the remainder of the Declaration of Independence, has been removed. Over 50% of these words were removed for political correctness. And so, again, I've asked you to ponder on why did they soft pedal? Most of these men knew that they were actually putting their lives on the line. Every man that signed this document, they ended it with that phrase that they did this knowing that they would be hunted down. So why soft pedal? If you know this, just think about that. He has waged cruel war against human nature itself, violating its most sacred rights of life and liberty in the persons of a distant people who have never offended him, captivating and carrying them into slavery into another hemisphere, or to incur miserable death in their transportation thither. This piratical warfare, the opprobrium of infidel powers, is the warfare of the Christian King of Great Britain, determined to keep open a market where men should be bought and sold. He has prostituted his negative for suppressing every legislative attempt to prohibit or restrain this execrable commerce, and that the assemblage of honor or horrors might want no fact of distinguished dye. He is now excited those very people to rise in arms among us and to purchase that liberty of which he has deprived them by murdering the people of whom he also obtruded them, thus paying off former crimes committed against the liberties of one people with crimes he urges them to commit against the lives of another. Wow. Why did they remove that? Think about it. In every stage of these oppressions, we have petitioned for redress in the most humble terms. Our repeated petitions have been answered only by repeated injuries. A prince whose character is thus marked by every act which may define a tyrant is unfit to be the ruler of a free people who mean to be free. Future ages will scarcely believe that the hardiness of one man ventured within the short compass of 12 years only to lay a foundation so broad and so undistinguished for tyranny over a people fostered and fixed in principles of freedom. Nor have we been wanting in attentions to our British brethren. We have warned them from time to time of attempts by their legislature to extend an unwarrantable jurisdiction over these states. We have reminded them of the circumstances of our immigration and settlement here, no one of which could warrant so strange a pretense that these were effected at the expense of our own blood and treasure, unassisted by the wealth of the strength of Great Britain, that in constituting, indeed, our several forms of government, we have adopted one common king, thereby laying a foundation for perpetual league and amity with them, but that submission to their parliament was no part of our constitution, nor ever an idea of history may be created, and we have appealed to their native justice and magnanimity, as well as to the ties of our common kindred, to disavow these usurpations, which were likely to interrupt our connection and correspondence. They, too, have been deaf to the voice of justice of consanguinity, consanguinity, and when occasions have been given them, by the regular course of their laws, of removing them, their councils, the disturbers of our harmony, they have, by their free election, reestablished them in power. At this very time, too, they are permitting their chief magistrate to send over not only soldiers of our common blood, but Scotch and foreign mercenaries to invade and destroy us. These facts have given the last stab to an agonizing affection. We and manly spirits abide us to renounce forever these unfeeling brethren. We must endeavor to forget our former love for them and hold them as we hold the rest of mankind, enemies in war, in peace friends. We might have been a free and great people together, but a communication of grandeur and of freedom, it seems, is below their dignity. Why was this stuff removed? But it's so, since they will have it. The road to happiness and glory is open to us too. We will tread apart from them and acquiesce in the necessity which denounces our eternal separation. We therefore, the representatives of the little United States of America in General Assembly, do in the name and by authority of the good people of these states, they've injected colonies, reject and renounce all allegiance and subjections to the King of Great Britain and all others may hereafter claim by, through, or under them, we utterly dissolve all political connection which may heretofore have subsisted between us and the people of Parliament of Great Britain. And finally, we do assert and declare these colonies to be free and independent states, and that as free and independent states, they have full power to levy war, conclude peace, contract allies, establish commerce, and do all other acts and things which independent states may of right do. And for the support of this declaration, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. And so, my friends, there was a lot that they took out that was just like, why? Why did they do this? Why was political correctness so rampant even in their day? Well, some people didn't want to necessarily feel like they were going too far, and they felt that they could maybe soften this, that the king might not, you know. Were there people, what we would call Anglophiles, that were still trying to, you know, be loyalists to the king in this Continental Congress? No. I will tell you that it was the guilt of those who wanted to contain and continue to maintain slavery in this new world. Clearly, this paradigm that all men were created equal and endowed by our Creator, inalienable rights of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that paradigm was an epoch. It was a new direction that we've never had, the world had never seen. I mean, this defies all other governments and all other paradigms. You got to understand that Jefferson with John Locke, John Locke's ideology was that all men were in an equal station. He was arguing against Hobbes's assertion that monarchs were divinely they were divine creatures. They were different than the rest of us. That they had this birthright to rule. Locke clearly stated in his two treatises of government that and he used this as his evidence that when Cain slew Abel, and Hobbes's argument was that Adam's was the, because Adam was alive at that point in time. And so his argument was if Adam was truly the king and God only worked with monarchs, then why did God go to Cain and not to Adam to say, Cain has done this and you must punish him? Why did he not go and reveal that to Adam? Instead, he went to Cain, because God deals with each man. He reveals to each of us in our hearts and minds what we have to do. And there's no doubt in my mind that these men of these states at that point in time who chose to soft pedal, who chose to actually protect their own crimes, how is it a crime of having a person in slavery? If you believe that every man must live by the sweat of his brow in obtaining force and compulsion of labor, that person toil so that you may live an easier life, then you are committing a sin against basically living by the sweat of your own brow, by having others sweat for your sake. We are to have that. We are to have a mutual respect and affinity for each other as well as for our Creator. And I can't understand how we lose these things, and how the South even tried to use biblical standing of maintaining slavery after the Declaration of Independence. After understanding, and anybody that reading the Bible knows that even Israel, even though Israel said we want to institute slavery, because there were people that wanted to be slaves, and the rule was that I forget the term, but every 7 years every slave was to be freed, and those who wanted to maintain slavery were allowed to stay. But every slave, Israel was not to keep slaves over a certain period of time. Yeah, I think it had been to our Creator's sake. I think his preference would have been that we never instituted slavery at all for any purpose. Now, there are times when people put themselves in financial dires and they have to do indentured service because they have to pay off their debts. I understand those things. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless. In our next episode, we're going to actually have a listener's comment, so if you want to tune in, thank you so much.
Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org and let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic.